Give me the honey. Give me the honey. Yeah.
Welcome to the Embodiment of Sex, where we experience life through pleasure. Yeah. Here we dance with the fires of desire in order to rekindle, recreate, and rebirth self. Join Sunshine Ryan and a few fully embodied folks as we dive into intimate connection with your unique creative sexual flow. Join us each week as we laugh and explore sex, self, sensuality, and learn to embody our sex like we never have before. Here's Sunshine Ryan.
Hey, everybody. This is Sunshine Ryan, and you are listening to another fabulous episode of The Embodiment of Sex. And today I'm going to do something a little bit different. I have a guest. And so I'm going to allow my fabulous guest to introduce herself. She is one of my most favorite people, and I'm so glad to have her here today. So go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell me who you are, what do you do, and anything that you love about me.
That would be everything. Well, hello, Sunshine. Thank you for having me on the show. This is Pollyanne Amazing here, and I do a little podcast called Buried Pleasures. And I also am a nurse practitioner, and I also love and do lots of things. We're not going to talk about all that tonight. So Sunshine, you have been a friend of mine for a few years now, and you bring out the sun in my day. So let's get
it. That's so sweet. So tonight's episode, me and Pollyanne have been going through a few things. We've been feeling a few things. We've been living our life. And so we kind of want to share a little bit about what we've been going through and kind of the journey that we've been experimenting with.
Let's call it experimenting.
It's definitely experimenting. So today on this episode today, we're going to talk a little bit about grieving. Death, rebirth, and then we're going to wrap it up with some talks about what is a quality pussy.
Well, you can't wrap that up too tight, can you?
We can't wrap it up too tight.
So, yes, and this is how this entire show is going to go, guys. This is it.
Exactly. We're gonna hit some highs. We're gonna hit some lows. We're just gonna be real. Me and Pollyanne are just gonna flow. And so I hope that you guys really enjoy just kind of like this open heart to heart moment that we're gonna have today.
Yeah.
So I was talking to Pollyanne earlier, and we were talking about this French phrase that I am terrified to pronounce because I have a little bit of speech impediment and some dyslexia. And so
we're just going to call it the little death. That's it.
We're going to call it the little death, but we're going to try to pronounce it.
Yes. La petite mot.
La petite mot. Mot.
It's mot. Mot.
Mm-hmm. She corrects me all the time, by the way.
I don't. Sorry.
So what this idea is that you have an orgasm, and then the aftermath of the orgasm is experienced as a small death. And so my question is, do you agree
statement? I kind of do, because think about all of the things that you're thinking about in the moment of your orgasm, right? You're thinking
nothing.
Yeah, right. But when it's over, when that great, powerful rush of wonderful energies and juices runs over you, and then it's over, it's like, it's almost like a birth and like a death and a rebirth, right? That's just kind of.
So I want you to think about this, right? So you're with your lover, and then you are open and flowing, and then your orgasm, right? But then you don't go into the refractory period. Mm-hmm. And then you orgasm again, mm-hmm. and you still don't go into the refractory period. Mm-hmm. So let's just say that we're flowing and we're having these multiple orgasms, and we're expanding and going through all of this. Would you still consider that those moments a small death, or does it, or would the small death come after maybe all of those orgasms?
Well, I'm going to say the small death would probably come after all of that, because again, if you have the capability to have multiple orgasms and you're in a wonderful tantric relationship, which I choose to be in. That's what I choose. those are the times that you're just like, wow, that's almost addictive. That's almost the best drug that there is out there.
Agreed.
Really available to you. And we don't even realize it. And it's, it can be exponentially life-changing when it happens.
So usually I refer to that aftermath as like, oh, I'm high, right?
Yeah.
I'm on this high.
Yeah, I've talked to you after that. I know exactly what you're talking about. She's stuttering now only because that's exactly what she does afterwards. I've heard it. I've been on the phone. I've heard that. I've heard that bliss, that revelry in bliss.
I love that feeling. And it can even last like a few days. Like it can last minutes. It can last hours. It can last longer than a few days, right? Like that high, like I could think about it right now when I started stuttering and it took me right back to that feeling, to that pleasure, to that small death. So what is happening at that moment? And I think I'll kind of lead us into that is what we're feeling there is awakening. What we're feeling there is the enlightenment. What we're feeling there is our truer selves, our natural self. Because I let go of shit when I come, right?
Yes. Yes, I've seen that too. If you ever get a chance to see Sunshine at any of her offerings or at an ISTA retreat, something like that, where she's the model, I'm going to say that it's something to behold and something to study, because jeepers.
Jeepers. So jeepers. Me and Pollyanna have a tight relationship. She's seen me in all of my elements. I don't think there's any, she's seen me happy, sad, destroyed, put together, orgasming, seeing ghosts, talking to spirits, like everything you can think of, we've probably witnessed.
I think so.
At some point together in our relationship.
I've seen you be a mom. I've seen you be a brilliant educator. I've seen you be, a sexual being. And, mm-hmm. You know, like if you can get friends like that out there, y'all get them.
agreed. Because agreed. It makes you feel powerful. It makes you feel that it's okay to be a person and to be alive.
Right. Right. No judgment here. Like that's what friendship is about. And I think that we've crossed that barrier. When you first become friends, you have mm-hmm. this expectation of, things are a little awkward at sometimes because you don't know mm-hmm. each other that well, but
right.
through all of the trials and tribulations, let's call them that, that we have, we've attested to for the past year. I think that there's something to be said about having a strong female relationship if you are female, and it doesn't have to be any other thing other than like the closest friendship I've ever mm-hmm. had, I think. In a female, because, in my younger years, I didn't like hanging around with women because women are.
Yeah.
And
me neither.
Right. So I think we balance out each other's yin and yang very well. Yes. With our feminine and masculinity.
And we even exchange the femininity and the masculinity, even between ourselves.
For sure. Hands down.
So I definitely think we bring that balance. But a couple things that are coming to mind for me are some of the friendships that I wish I still had that I don't have anymore. Yeah. Or some of the girlfriends that, yes, we're still girlfriends, but I can't call them and tell them stuff that I've just told you, right? Like,
right, I understand.
There's a disconnect. And so there's some sadness there, right? And so I'm going to kind of move us into this idea of grieving. And I'm also going to move us into this idea of going for full circle. So today I was talking about going for full circle because I'm really starting to hit some of my life goals, my life dreams, my life visions, right? And so that within itself is a small death, a different type of small death. But I definitely had to grow and expand and experience in order to get to the place where I am now. And there, of course, was happiness and sadness and love and hate and all of these things that I had to fluctuate through to get to the point where I am now. Mm-hmm. And so the idea of death or grieving also needs to just, I just want to be sure that we understand that there is a birth and that there is some kind of reproduction, some kind of exchange, some kind of sex. And then there is a death, right? And that's very basic life form biology.
So everybody out there knows that, you know, the birds and the bees talk. Do we need to have this talk with you guys? I don't think we do. If you're listening to Sunshine Show, I'm pretty sure that you're pretty up to date on how, you know, people have babies. That's a thing. but also, while you're talking about that, we can talk about the birth and death of relationships in other ways, not just in a sexual way, which is kind of what you and I have both been going through in our separate lives outside of our fun tantra friendship. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's really, you know, I want to always say to people, find those people who are your tribe, right? That we talk about mm-hmm. that on everything that we do, find the people that resonate with you so that you can feel comfortable in talking about whatever it is, such as, you know, again, we have been grieving, you and I mm-hmm. experienced a really traumatic instance of death in my family. I know that you've experienced a death in your friend family as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what brought us to doing this particular show. And I think that it's a testament to how strong we are as friends that we can, you know, we can not talk for months on end because we both know that we have a lot of stuff to hand over to somebody else to deal with when we have these conversations. So it's not an easy thing to do whenever you are, you know, trying to keep friends by not talking to them because you're afraid that you're going to emotionally cripple them with your thoughts or what you have going on in your life. So right. Note to self, always ask somebody before you dump all of your trials and tribulations on them, because sometimes what you're going through is a little tough. And if somebody else that you're unloading all of your problems on, or if they're having a bad time, it can be even harder for them because they want to be there for you.
That brings me to the idea of, you know, going through these deaths, going through the experiences, but then having people still want to put their emotional baggage onto me mm-hmm. and me having to say no.
Right.
Because I was pushed to my emotional limit. Mm-hmm. But before I get really into talking about the grieving and the death and all of that, I do want to mention the birthing experience.
Ooh, that's all you, birth and life. By the way, by trade, I have been an ER employee for a long time, and birth has nothing to do with what we do there, by the way.
But you can relate because you've had children.
Totally. So
when you go through this experience of birthing, and I'm going to talk about birthing life, but maybe just birthing creation, right? Like whatever you're birthing. But that could even be related to a small death, I think.
Agreed.
Because before that, you were a different person. Mm-hmm. That person still exists. Yes. Sometimes you have to find her again.
Sometimes she's lost in a closet somewhere in the back.
Sometimes she's lost in a closet. But you are now a mother, right? Like if you were a single, if you didn't have children before and then you, that's your first baby. Yes, you were you were soul identity before, but after you gave birth, you were now a mother. And that is something new that you haven't been before. So maybe that process of giving life, like creating it, having it come through the birth canal, is almost like a small death. like an orgasm. Mm-hmm. Because you're fucking high as shit afterwards if you're not drugged up. No. Just saying. I actually used to say I only had children so I could feel the endorphin rush afterwards.
There are so many other ways, Sunshine. So many other ways. Sunshine and I differ in the fact that she has 5 children. I have 3. And yeah, so I'm ready for the last one to move out. You just keep bringing them back. I don't know.
I know. But I also just, I'm not really educated on this, what I'm going to say next, but the experience of the baby waking up. I mean, the baby is awake, but coming into the world, would you consider that like a small death?
Absolutely. Because think about what you're doing. And now that I have a little more knowledge based on our training, I really like, you have to think that you are bringing a being into the world that one day will also perish, will die. Right. And I, you know, I don't like to go to those dark places often. And for me, that is a dark place because my life has been encircled in multiple deaths in my family, close people to me. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, in that instance, when I found out I was pregnant, let's say with my son, the first child, right? My sweet baby boy. I knew the day that I found out I was pregnant that he was a boy. Yeah. I just knew it. Who knew? And now watching him as, you know, as he's grown, as he's become a man, as he started his own family, and to watch the grief that he has been through as well. Mm-hmm. Those are the kinds of things that, you know, you start to understand your relative self, right? Mm-hmm. Those are the times that you know that somewhere deep inside, you are going to forever be responsible for this being, regardless of whether they grow up and move away or what have you. That is a part of you. That is a part of your karmic life right there. Mm-hmm. That's an extension of you. Mm-hmm. And so trying to figure out how to not make yourself crazy every morning when you wake up and you're a new mom. For all you new moms that may be listening out there, it's happened to all of us. And I had postpartum depression with my first child. Mm-hmm. That brings you to a whole nother level of like the thought of what exactly life means.
So I was thinking about that recently, and you know, postpartum depression kind of reminds me of grieving a loss, right?
Yes.
And I don't know if this is true or not either, but I and so I'm hypothetically thinking.
You can say whatever you want on here. The beauty but of
maybe, you know, postpartum depression could be also associated with the loss of yourself.
Right. Yeah, because from that moment on, you're no longer Sunshine or Pollyann Amazing.
Badly as you want to be.
Yeah, right. You're somebody's mom. And it reminds me of something that my son said to me when a friend of mine sent a picture from my senior prom. And he's like, oh my gosh, mom, you look so happy. And my husband turned over and said, yeah, because that's the last time she didn't have a kid. Yeah, she was happy. She was honestly, truly happy. She had nothing to worry about. Her parents were paying for her food and lodging. So, you know, did absolutely nothing. My biggest concern there was, when can I go get, you know, something to eat or drink? Yeah, please. That's it. That's my thought of the day. I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Right. There's no, I mean, what was your biggest concern in high school? Was, were you getting done with your homework? You know, was my hair cute? Like back then in the day, was my hair high enough? You know, like that.
I was a cheerleader, so I was worried about how high I could kick, you know.
There you go. See, I just wanted to have fun. And then you have a kid and then all of a sudden, boop, nope, no more fun.
Hey,
so you think
I still had fun.
Yeah, I know. Have kids later. We know this, Sunshine, but anyway, yeah. But no, yeah, all of these things, all of the things that you've been shown in, you know, from television shows to your parents, to watching your aunts and uncles and other friends and family, you really have to take note as you're growing up on how are you supposed to be a mom, because nobody hands you a book that says these are the directions. And if they do, read it. Read all the books that you can. Make sure that you have the knowledge that you feel you need to be successful. And
that's a lot. Bringing me to the point, to this idea, but we won't really get into it because this will take us off on a tangent. But the idea where you have a child and you don't actually love them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I think that happens a lot for a lot of women. And I would just want to say, you know, it will grow or maybe it won't. Like, you don't know. Yeah. But like I said, we're not going to get into that. So I kind of want to move us into grieving and into some of the deeper emotions that, you know, that song by Mariah Carey, I've been feeling emotions deeper than I ever That's how I feel right now.
I get you. So one of the things that is really important to think about that is I know that, and for those of your audience that don't know the fact that I'm the most emotional person that you probably know, I cry about everything because in my life, I've suffered a lot of loss personally, but I also have watched other people suffer, death and traumas that, I have kept in a little box that I shoved down way deep, way deep, long about 2 finger widths below the navel. That's where mine sit. In the element of my body.
I'm with you.
Yes.
So I want to redefine the definition of grieving right now. And so the definition of grieving is to feel great sorrow or to feel great loss. Okay. And my whole thing is that I want to feel it. And so this is where maybe I get a little weird, right? Like, because I had all my children natural, right? Going back to birth. I love the feeling of that, the sensations. I love the contractions, and they get stronger and stronger and stronger. And then it's like, okay, I have to push now. And then you push and then the baby comes out. And I love all of that. So now that I'm dealing with the passing of people that I really love, or letting go of a relationship that I don't want to let go of, I want to feel the sensations of that. I want to feel what that feels like. So for me, you know, my grieving process might be different than a lot of other people because I'm going to allow myself to fall into the abyss and cry until I can't cry anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And let the emotions out. Pollyanna, no.
Gotcha. And you know what? You know, we talk a lot about, just because we are moms, we talk about that grief from a mom perspective. And I understand that out there listening, there may be some, there's obviously men listening and women listening, but you know, take it from whatever perspective that resonates with you. You know, if you feel lost because of something that happened with your current job, or with something in school that you've dealt with, or even in your personal life, that's kind of where we're coming from. And, you know, it's just easy for us to grab hold of these ideas as moms, because that's what we are. That's what we do every day. So if this isn't something that resonates with you, obviously as a parent, think of an instance where you have lost something, even if it was a puppy or your cat or something that really meant everything to you. And it could be trivial too. What's trivial to me may not be trivial to you. So think about those things that you've lost and put yourself in that mindset. And as we continue through this conversation, kind of use this as an application that you can come back to say, oh, I get it now. Like, that's it.
And something that probably everyone could relate to is dealing with COVID. Like, I think a lot of us are grieving right now from COVID because it's a massive change. And I think a lot of people are just like, I wish this shit would go back to normal.
Yes.
That I always laugh when someone says that.
Yeah.
because nothing is ever going to go back to normal, because there is actually no normal.
Right.
This is the normal right now. But you could grieve that, right? Or you could grieve just separating from a lover. Or you can grieve, I often say you can grieve yourself, right? Like, say you didn't get the promotion that you wanted at work, and now you're kind of feeling shitty, right? or maybe you lost your job because of COVID, and now you're at the house and you're grieving through that, right? Mm-hmm. Or maybe you're grieving because you can't provide for your family right now. I mean, there could be so many elements of what grieving is. And so what I think that is, a lot of time, is what is the situation that is causing the grieving? What is the situation that's happening that is making you feel this sorrow, this pain? And then, can we notice that we are grieving, that we are in sorrow, that we are in pain, that we are feeling maybe depressed? And I will be the first to admit, you know, I have been hit pretty hard for the last 3 months, and I just called my therapist. But it still took me 3 months to be like, you know what? I think I'm fucking depressed.
Yeah, I understand that. And I'll just say, from my standpoint, I am the counselor.
Well, why do you say that? Because we both do the work. So the therapist that I have is the therapist for counselors, right? So
that's what you need.
That's your thing. That is what you need. So if that's the kind of work that you're in, then you got to find the people that can help you.
Right.
Because I know that I need a therapist for counselors, right? And he's sexually positive counselor.
Yeah, I had this discussion earlier today about how important it is to find a provider, practitioner, whomever, counselor, whatever you're going to, if you're having trouble and you want to seek somebody and you find somebody finally, because sometimes it's a little difficult these days. It's really important. If you don't feel like you're being listened to, like you're not being heard on a level that makes you feel like a comfortable level, mm-hmm. then you need to seek somebody else.
Right.
I think that a lot of times we get caught up in the fact that, oh, fine, you know, I've got this counselor, they're going to help me, whatever. But if they're saying things that you're just like, no, I don't like that. Right. It doesn't mean that you're wrong as the person getting the counseling. It's just that sometimes we all get trained in different areas. You know, there are some really amazing trauma aware counseling out there. There are some amazing people who deal with drug and alcohol abuse, or, you know, physical or mental abuses. They're out there, but it's seeking out the persons who are the most appropriate for what you need. And sometimes we don't hit the best of them initially.
Right. And I have said that on my show before, you know, I have said that on my show before, how important it is to find the right help for you. Yeah. Because if you're not connected to the person that is helping you, then you're not actually getting all of the treatment. Right. And the other thing is the cost, right? So I think a lot of times people are like, I'm not going to pay for a therapist. It's not covered by my insurance, or I'm not going to pay for a therapist, because I will tell you right now, the therapist I am seeing, he's fucking expensive. Okay. But
you're going to pay it because you need it. And you
recognize. I need it. I know I'm depressed, right? I'm having some trouble. I need some help. And I know that he knows how to handle people like me. Right. He checks every box that I need, so that I know that I'm paying for that high counseling, but I am willing to invest that money in myself so that I can feel good again, but for my mental health. I feel like that is the most important thing, because if I am not mentally healthy, also physically, also emotionally, all of these things, but if I am not mentally healthy, I cannot provide for my family. I cannot go to work. I cannot help other people. I'm not actually functioning in society. So why would I not pay the money and go get the help that I need. Because to me, I love myself. I'm number one.
You should be. And it's hard, you know, it's really hard for people to get on board with that. I talk to people every day. Mm-hmm. That's what I do. And, you know, like even today I was doing a Twitter space. I do a sex abuse chat with an author friend of mine. And in those chats, I think those are one of the most prolific things that I've ever been involved with, because you have people from literally all over the planet. You know, it's not just people here in the United States, and it's not just, you know, people who speak English or any other language. There's a ton of people that come on there, and it's nice to be able to hear the stories that they tell about their journeys in their search for someone to help them out of their current situation. And that's kind of what we're all looking for, somebody to help us at, you know, when we need it. It's just finding that person. And so those kinds of things, like if you can find, and I'm a huge fan of all of these people getting together, because it does help you figure out what it is you are looking for. Cause sometimes you don't even know what you're looking for when you're looking for grief counseling or relationship counseling or, you know, financial counseling for that matter. I mean, like all of these things can cause grief. And you need help.
Yeah, right. And I will say, you know, it takes a lot of awareness to know that you need help. Yeah. And so that kind of brings me into the idea of what are the feelings that are associated with the event that has put you into this grieving thing. And so that's something that's what I talk about when I'm like, oh, I want to feel it. Yeah. Like that means I want to feel each emotion. But I usually take it a step further. So why am I feeling this? Why am I so fucking sad? And so in my case, these cases that happened recently was for the fact that I loved these people. And that love was removed from me. And so for a moment, I fell into a place of abandonment and almost like, oh, I'm never going to feel that again, right? That victimhood.
We like to live in the victimhood.
We try not to get there, but sometimes we go there. Yeah. But what are we really grieving? We're really grieving that we cared for somebody and that attachment has been broken, or there was a shift, there was a quick change and we weren't prepared for it. And so that's actually what the grieving is. But something to remember is that love does not equal pain. So, and that's a big concept to understand. Love and pain are two different things. So I want you to understand that just because the person is gone or the situation happened or that you're sad or depressed doesn't mean that love ceased to exist in your life. And that is also something that I constantly remind myself, you know, how can I love myself more in this moment? How can I still return to love even when I'm grieving? And so we can believe, you know, we can still grieve and be sad and feel the pain and do all of these things, but can we still believe that love is still right there without losing that faith, without losing that concept? Because I think a lot of times we think, well, I'm going to stop. I'm going to let you talk.
I'm like mesmerized by the fact that you're saying all these things. I always do. So I'll just give you guys a hint out there of what I do when I'm feeling grief. I call Sunshine. First I text her and I ask her, hey, do you have time to listen to me cry today? That's what we do. So
I will say I love those days. I do.
You know, well, again, I come from some heavy hitting stuff sometimes. And recently those have been a lot more heavy than not.
Yes.
Just a little background, guys. I'm just going to say this. My mother lives with me and has for about 10 years. She has Alzheimer's. And so every day I get to watch her degrade, which mm-hmm. is horrible in my mm-hmm. mind, because we all know Alzheimer's is also genetically, you know, handed out. And it just so happens that some days it's a little tougher than others. And I recently mm-hmm. lost my brand new daughter-in-law. And mm-hmm. that has caused me more pain, I think, watching my son be sad than anything has ever affected me, even in my own personal life, even when my father died in my 20s, or, you know, I've had so many friends die from COVID lately, and friends who have committed suicide. And, you know, like, you have all these things that come up in your mind once that grief monster jumps on your back. That's what mm-hmm. I like to call him, grief monster. That it just brings all of those terrible things to light. And we remember the really terrible things more than we do the really great things, because right. negative experiences stick to our brain like Velcro. They yes. just don't let go. And that's our body's natural way of keeping us out of trouble, right? Like, mm-hmm. oh, you just watch somebody fall off a cliff. Guess what? You really don't want to fall off a cliff. So you're going right. to be a little more cautious the next time. And so those kinds of being able to have somebody to speak to you about these things in a way that's non-judgmental and has some pretty daggone good advice sometimes is kind of nice to have, you know?
Yeah. And what you're saying right now is, you know, grief will often bring up your past trauma.
For sure.
And so at that time of your grieving, is it really, of course, it's the now situation, but a lot of times it's the past situations that are thrown back into your face.
Right.
And so it's compounded. Mm-hmm. And so you're not only feeling the pain from the circumstances that is happening now, but you are remembering all the pain that got you to this space. And so that's a lot to deal with.
It is a lot to deal with. But, you know, again, I have so many things to be grateful and thankful for. And so mm-hmm. I try to focus on those situations, even though some days it is really stinking hard. And I will just out of nowhere start crying, because also hormones do that to ladies my age. that's kind of one of those, you know. Wait a minute. It's really hard sometimes to, you know, when you get so mad that you want to cry. Ugh, that makes me the most angry of anything, because I've seen men get really mad and never cry. But here's in all this emotion and all this power that I'm harnessing inside me to keep myself from jumping off that cliff, or perhaps. Yes. propagating violence against somebody because it makes me feel better. You know, that's not how that, right. it's not going to make me feel better to make other people hurt.
Yes, definitely. And one thing I just did episode last week about understanding that you're not broken, and understanding that nobody's broken, and really starting to occupy the space that you are whole and that you are complete. And that maybe in this moment, you might be emotionally or mentally or physically wounded, but you are not broken, and that you are still loved. And so what I usually start to get to help me with my grieving process is I do ask that question, how can I love myself more in this moment? And if the answer is to cry my freaking eyes out, then that's what I'm going to do. But I also ask myself, what are the gifts that I am receiving? And what am I thankful for? And what am I really learning in this moment?
Yeah.
Because most people that you, if they're people or maybe experiences that you're grieving for, is usually because... you think the gift is gone, but actually they already gave you the gift, and the gift is inside you.
We don't think about that very often, do we?
No, it's very easy to forget.
I like that you said that, because honestly, I'm going to take this back to what I was saying about my daughter-in-law. You know, she gave me a gift that I don't think that anybody could have ever. My son is the most brilliant, beautiful, wonderful guy ever in the whole world. I will never believe anything different. And now he has shown me even more based on what he is going through, which in turn makes me think, holy shit, I did a good job as a mom somewhere in there. Right.
Right. Exactly.
And it kind of helps me to think of it that way, because I could sit and think about, oh my gosh, I'm never going to get to experience this with this person. I'm never going to experience, you know, watching her son grow, or, you know, watching my son become a father again. That, like, those are the kinds of things in the moment that were the most devastating, but also, gosh, I mean, you can't be mad at the fact that you have created a human yourself that has actually gone out and done amazing things as well. So I think that is something to be very proud of. And, you know, and that can go for anything, not just being a parent. That can be if you've done a project that you're totally, like, so proud of, but something happened that it didn't work out. You can grieve over that, but damn it, be proud of what you did. Be proud of what you've made. Be proud of what you have, because you have done that. And even though, you know, all good things come to an end, that's a thing. They say that a lot. Unfortunately, the day that we are born is the day we start dying.
Right.
And that's something that Buddhism taught me that, and I know I'm not getting on a religious kick, but, you know, it's just the mental mindset that I had to be in to understand that we can't always be perfect. We can't always have the best of everything, but damn it, we can try, and we can do really great things. We can do really great things, and we have done amazing things. Think about all of the people that your show touches, even, you know, just come back. Yeah. And the people that touch themselves because of your show. But
I think I get about a phone call or a text message or something each week, even when I'm not on social media, and someone is just like, I need to thank you.
Right.
And that is shocking to me, because I don't think I'm doing anything. I'm just like, I'm just living. That's it. Like, but like the sincere, like, just thank you. And I forget to be proud of myself. I'll admit that.
Yeah. I think I remind you to be proud of yourself frequently, because I think you are a force to be reckoned with, Sunshine. I think that if it weren't for you, I wouldn't be living in Washington if it weren't for you, but that's another set of things. Like, I moved all the way to Washington just so I could, you know, do more amazing in-person things. And who knew that COVID was going to ruin that for all of us?
Yes. And now I'm in New Mexico.
New Mexico. It's all good. The weather's great up here.
But I do want, you know, I just lost what I consider one of my best male friends. And that was a big deal for me, because I have a hard time building relationships with men. I'll fucking admit that. I have a hard time. And this man that passed, you know, he loved me. And so when he died, I felt so almost betrayed, right? Like, how dare you take your love away from me? And then just more recently, I started to fall in love with somebody, which was so fun. I was having a good time, and he disappeared. And that feeling, like, how dare you take that love away from me? But after I stopped crying and calmed down and came back to consciousness, I can see now that I am a better mother. Like, I can see now that they taught me love, because I have been asking, I need people to show me how to be in a healthy relationship. I need people to show me how to love unconditionally. And this is what these people are doing in my life. Mm-hmm. And so am I upset? Does it hurt? Yeah, it does hurt a little bit. But when I really think about it, I'm like, wow, I am so grateful that you were a presence in my life and you showed me how to love more. And now I can even see that I'm loving my children more. I'm loving my friends more. I'm loving myself more. And if that was the gift that they're leaving me, you know, I'll take it. Because that's a beautiful gift. And so the question that brings me, you know, what are we feeling in the aftermath? And there's no time limit on grief, which I think people also need to understand. Mm-hmm. I'm a very fast, what is the word I'm looking for?
Everything. No, just kidding.
I process my emotions quicker.
You have definitely learned. You have definitely learned to project what you need to project at the time you need to do so. But that's a learned skill that not everybody
is a learned skill.
And you have had to overcome so many things in your life.
I've had a lot of practice.
And you know, honestly, all more power to all those people who have had a brilliantly like easy life. Good on you.
I love that. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But some days, that's not exactly how it goes for most people. Most mm-hmm. people wake up in the morning, they do what they have to do. And for 5 minutes in their day, they're trying to scratch out some time so that they can be, you know, happy or comfortable or, mm-hmm. you know, find something that they enjoy. Mm-hmm. It's hard. It's so hard.
It is hard. So I do want to just, you know, remind everybody that everybody's going to grieve and take that time to process their emotions at a different time. And it's going to look different for everybody. And they're going to, sometimes they'll be smiling. That doesn't mean that they're not still sad.
Right.
And so, you know, and ask for help if you need help. Or if you see someone that you think needs help, suggest gently. Don't blame, just, you know, I noticed recently. Do you think you want to talk to somebody? Can I help you? Can I be of service? But I was going to ask you, you know, what are three ways, if you could name three, that you reconnect with yourself?
Personally, I sing a lot. I sing to reconnect with myself. I know it sounds really crazy. I love to feel.
No, I love it.
I like to feel.
I did an episode on that.
I love to feel the vibration of my vagus nerve.
Yes.
Singing for me, and you know, like even a sound bath. You know, mm-hmm. I have my Tibetan bowls. I love mm-hmm. that. I love the resonating feeling of sound. For me, that is my go-to. Mm-hmm. Or music, because that puts me in a different place. And mm-hmm. meditation. When I can mm-hmm. settle my mind after music, I can. There are times I can't. I won't say can't. I don't mm-hmm. choose not to do my meditation when I know it's a practice of running. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. And it's not, listen, guys out there, I don't run unless I'm scared, and that ain't a whole lot. So it's running. I'm running from the practice, not physically running. I don't do that. No, but once I do settle down and I do get into my meditation, which I happen to do this morning, I feel so much better about everything, just literally everything. It just takes all of those things away from me. And I'm lucky in that, because I don't know that everybody can do that, but I have mm-hmm. found a way to do that for myself. And, you know, reading books also helps me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
reading books, but audible books. How about that?
Yeah. Listening.
Listening to books. Gaining knowledge. Those are the things that help me get past, because again, if you have been assaulted several times in your mm-hmm. life over and mm-hmm. over and over again, you already have a pathway that you followed. And sometimes you know that path was not the right way to go. So you have to take a little shoot off the side mm-hmm. to get mm-hmm. you to where you know is going to be your positive place. So that's mm-hmm. what I sing and music and listen to. I'm a sound person.
So I think for me, water yeah. is my thing. So like bath, shower, lake, river, ocean, rain, snow.
Well, just side note, if you ever go on a vacation with sunshine, make sure that you find a place with a nice bathtub, because
it has to have a bath or I ain't going. water is like, it's peace to me. It soothes my soul. I'm so connected to the water. So that's something that's a major go-to for me. Another major go-to is feeling. Yeah. So a lot of people are really afraid of their feelings, and I'm not. Like, I love my feelings. They're tough sometimes. So usually I will feel my feelings in isolation. I'm getting better at expressing my feelings or just telling people that I'm upset and I need feeling. But I want to feel the pain. I remember after my hysterectomy, they're like, take this pain medication. You're going to be in pain. And I didn't take anything because I had to feel what my body was feeling. And then I felt like I was dying. So I took my pain medication. But I have to associate with what I'm feeling.
Right.
Because that's how I heal faster, because I just let it hit. Like, I will let it hit so hard and then I'll process it. So that's a little rough for a lot of people. And I don't expect people to jump into that.
I don't do that. I want to distance myself from mm-hmm. everything in that moment, because I don't like to sit with mm-hmm. grief, and I are not friends, but, but what I have been doing, a lot of lately is, again, doing those practices that I know work. Mm-hmm. And that's what helps me. And I'm a talker. Hello. I'm a talker.
You are a talker. I am a talker.
So if you dare ever say, yeah, sure, tell me what you're feeling, watch out, because I will. Because I've always thought,
here's the difference. Right. Go ahead.
You're fine. In my mind, my thought is if I hold things in, I'm going to get cancer. I'm not going to die from cancer. It will not be what I die from. It might be from stress related other cardiac issues or something like that, but it'll never be.
And my whole thing is like, mine is more like, I won't run from what I'm feeling. Like, I will hit it dead on and greet it with open arms, because I'm curious. Like, what is that? What is that feeling?
I know. That's why I get really, I sometimes sit in awe of you, Sunshine, and your ability to do that, because of all the people that I know and have known, you're head on, get it. Let's do it. Let's get it over with. Don't talk to me for a month.
I'll come back.
Yeah. It's cool. It's nice to be able to do that, though, because so often we don't have, or, you know, it's hard to find somebody that you can really trust to speak to, because, again, we have, I've seen you in so many different shapes and forms.
Yes.
And I continue to just sit in awe of it, because you have this power that a lot of people don't even have, you guys have no clue what I'm talking about, because they haven't seen it. But it's such a testament to what you're doing and how you conduct your business. You know, teacher courses, when you have clients, I've seen what you do, and it just blows me away every time. Appreciate you for that.
Thank you.
I'm learning so much from you that one day I might even, you know, take a class or something that you teach.
And so, before we move into our very last topic that we'll talk about quickly, because we've been talking for a while, is how do we always return to love? And this is a big element that I think is missing in society right now.
Yeah.
How do I return back to love? So where is the love? And just asking yourself that, mm-hmm. you know, are you grieving because it's convenient? Because are you grieving because you're supposed to? Are you grieving because it looks good? Are you grieving? Like, what are your reasons, right? Are you actually grieving for you or you know, for social media? Like, who fucking knows, right? And so the question that I do want to leave you on the grieving understanding is just like, yes, I'm grieving, but how do I return to love?
How do you return to love? Mm-hmm. I know this answer. Or okay. I know from my perspective what this answer is.
Mm-hmm.
How I return back to love
mm-hmm.
is I start gathering in my mind all of the positive things. I'm a Pollyanna. And if you guys don't know what Pollyanna means, Google it. I'm eternally optimistic. Eternally optimistic. That's what my mother named me. So she cursed me when she did that. So what helps me the most is, again, to speak my truth, to say, I don't feel good, damn it. And I need some help. I want some help. So if that help comes from somebody who says, yeah, I'll listen to you. I'll mm-hmm. listen to you. I'm not a professional. I'll listen to you, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'll give you all the advice you want. Or just, you know, just to be able to fall into the arms of somebody who, you know, you can trust, who you love.
Mm.
That also is huge for me because I need that. I need that constant reassurance that I do have somebody to lean on. And I think we all have someone out there to lean on, or I hope you do. And if you don't, find that person for you, because.
And if you don't, I'm gonna let you know it's gonna be okay.
Yeah, it'll be all right. It'll be all right.
Sunshine knows how to do it on her own. So if you like a solo chick like me, you know, mm-hmm. it's okay. But learn how to depend on yourself.
Right. Right. And you have
that's to have what tools. You need to do.
You have to have your own set of tools to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's important, because a lot of us are just going off of what we have seen and what we have learned. And sometimes
right.
those types of behaviors are not the best ones to get involved in.
Right. Definitely. So I'm going to turn this real quick. Like,
is this the juicy part? Because we're talking about.
Yes. So
yeah,
I'll give a little story, a little backstory. We'll call him Bobby G. Bobby G was, I liked him. He was a good guy.
Bobby G.
Bobby G.
Bobby G. If I ever get to talk to you, Bobby G, I hope you're listening.
Oh, Bobby G.
You and I are going to have conversations, sir.
We're going to have some conversations, sir. Okay, but anyways, Bobby G told me we got done having our amazing session. Juicy. And he looked at me, and so we're new partners, and he said, you got 5 kids, right? And I said, yeah. And he goes, wow. And then he says, I wasn't expecting your pussy to be such high quality.
Why do you think your name is Sunshine? Why do you think your name is Sunshine? You throw that out in the air and it's sun. Right.
And this made me really laugh, first off. Secondly, I started to think about, what the fuck is high quality pussy?
That's a good question.
That is a good question. So I'm going to ask you, you know, what do you consider high quality pussy? You know, I found that very, very funny. The other thing he said was, my orgasms are strong. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's just like, you are so fucking strong when you orgasm, you have no idea. And I was like, it comes from my belly. That's what I saw.
So what do I think is high quality? That's a good question.
Yeah, well, let me hear it.
I mean, let's talk about training. which yes. We do pelvic floor exercises. We do different types of, you know, elevator training, if you will.
I use the water. So I will actually suck in water and then push it out like the girls in Thailand with the ping pong balls.
Oh, okay. So that screams, it needs to be on a billboard. So it should be high quality at that point. But also, you know, what's high quality to one person is not necessarily to another. You may scare, you may scare somebody with what you
I have definitely scared some people.
Yes. That's why I brought it up.
Yes.
But you know, high quality is in the eye of the beholder. Right.
Yes.
High quality very much so. To a male, or if you had a female partner, even, you know, it's about the connection more than anything, I think. So mechanically we can say you have really strong pelvic floor muscles, Sunshine. Sunshine, you can suck water up into your vagina like a trooper. That's cool.
Like a trooper. Yeah.
Like a trooper. But you know, it's all well and fine if, as long as you have a different type of connection. Like if you're going to make a guy orgasm in the first 2 seconds, yeah, it's high quality, but what good does it do for you?
Yes. Right. Very true.
So very true. I think when you're talking about the female orgasm or the vagina, or, you know, the sensations that men must feel, that we don't know how that feels because we're female. We can only assume that your grip of love is above some of the other people that he's been with in the past. Oh, Bobby G, you don't even.
Oh, Bobby G.
Hopefully he listens to this and realizes that the high caliber of female that he was in a relationship with is no longer attainable at this moment. And what grief you must feel for that. You think that that would be a lot of grief? Sounds like it. I mean,
OMG. You know what I do? I will just say what I love about my own pussy. Yeah. And just that word. Like
I don't like to use pussy as a word.
I'm sorry. What word do you like? I love that word.
I use vagina because I'm medical.
Use vagina. We could use yoni.
Yoni. We use yoni.
Whatever you like. But I love my yoni. Uh-huh. Right? And so I treat her nice. I give her treatments. I do exercises with her. I talk to her. I massage her. I love her. I let her orgasm. I taught her how to orgasm harder. I brought her from numbness, not feeling anything, from just holding trauma, to experiencing tons of sensation and bliss. Like, we have been through an experience together. I call her she has a voice. I listen to her. And so those things to me are high quality. Okay. And that's the connection that I have with my own self and my own body and my own sexuality.
Right. And you're a sexual being. That's you. That's who you are. That is when somebody says Sunshine, people aren't thinking, oh, she's like school teacher.
Oh, no, that's not what they're thinking. They're thinking sex.
Because you are a sexual being. And there's nothing wrong with that. And you know, you could be envious of that. I'm envious of how safe and comfortable you are with your own body at times. And I know that, you know, in my own work with my own body, I have come a long way from where I used to be. Mm-hmm. You know, I love to be able to make myself orgasm, you know, multiple times. You know, that's one of those things that if you ever learn Tantra, guys, or or you already have the ability to be multi-orgasmic, that brings your awareness of your genitalia, your pussy, your whatever you want to call it. It brings it to a whole nother level of amazing wonder, because you have this power. You harness that power and you can rule the world.
Fact. Yeah,
totally cute.
Which I don't want to, because that sounds like a lot of stress, but but I can rule my world.
Correct. That's exactly it right there.
And I can be from a place where I believe in the choices that I'm making. And I think that is what the high quality, I also think high quality is that the confidence that I have, or just how you, maybe your attitude right. towards sex, or maybe, you know, I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud here, but I do think that those things have, and I asked a couple of men this question and they said that they didn't like when a woman just laid there. So a woman could have like the best pussy ever, but if she lays there, or if she's not really interacting in the sex, then the sex is no good.
Right. We're all looking for connection. That's it.
We're all looking for a connection. And here's the thing with me, I'm leading with my heart open. Mm-hmm. If my heart is open, then my legs are open.
I love you so much. You're so cute. I love it. Love it. You know what, though? Good for you for being able to speak your truth. You're speaking your truth. That's it. That's what you're doing. You are a power to be reckoned with, Sunshine.
Fact. I love that.
It's true. I have to say it all the time. You don't believe me sometimes.
I don't listen very well.
You don't, but look, there's Bobby G's out there just sweating it because, you know, sorry, high quality. What? Bye. No. And that's cool. But this brings us back to how do we grieve and also have strong ass vaginas or pussies, however it is you like to speak about it.
Yes.
Simply this, we as a female bodied human walking around on this planet, we are creators.
Mm-hmm.
We are leaders.
Mm-hmm.
We are strong. And we don't ever have to think anything but that. And if we can teach our daughters that and teach our sons that, that's exactly what we need to do.
I agree.
We are all in this game together and we all have to play. Some people play by the rules and some people don't. But the one thing I know, Sunshine, is if you're real with yourself, you can never be offended, and you are exactly that. And I appreciate you for that.
I appreciate you for that. And something I have learned very, very recently over the last few days is that I can't abandon myself at this point. You can abandon yourself. You definitely can. But I'm sure as fuck I'm not.
She's not to, because you're choosing a better path.
Exactly. So there's one question that I'll leave us with. And in the Buddhist world, you know, we talk a lot about attachments. And so a lot of times grieving is that attachment process. So in the Buddhist world, I get really confused. And I think for a lot of people, this idea of what are they talking about when they're saying to not form the attachment. And maybe you could speak a little bit to that and maybe bring us a little bit of clarity.
Well, I think, like I said earlier, when you find out you're pregnant, you know, the moment that you have that child, he or she will grow up and leave you and possibly suffer in between.
Mm-hmm.
So you have all of these feelings because you are creating another human to come into the universe who will then create another human. That's what we do. We're humans. We procreate. That's what we do.
We do.
So as much as you want to, and I'm sorry for all of you people out there that I don't have a better analogy without the use of children. So for whatever you can compare this to, you know, from the moment that you have this child, that you will lose this child at some point, regardless, whether it be, you know, a death, whether it be a marriage and they go away, or, you know, something, or you get in a fight, you don't talk for a while, whatever. That grief is there. That's how that works. And it's how you deal with that attachment to that particular person or project or whatever. Dog, let's go. I'm trying to be as as open with this as I possibly can, but that's it. Like, you and I are friends. And mm-hmm. if we ever were not friends, I would grieve that terribly. But also I would know that at that point, I had this wonderful friendship with you up until then. Mm-hmm. And I have to live in that area. I can't right. sit and think, oh, I wonder what she's doing. I feel really terrible. Or, oh my gosh, this person has passed on and I don't have them to talk to anymore. And that's a huge right. grief right there. So right. we have those attachments. We just have to learn to subtly let go of them in whatever way it is that we can. And just appreciate the time that you have now. And that's mm-hmm. one of the biggest parts of Buddhism that's gotten really tough for me at times is living in the moment now, understanding that we can't go back mm-hmm. and we're not going forward until tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So right now is what you have to deal with. And so mm-hmm. you're the captain of your own ship, you know? You have yeah. the ability to turn anything around. You just have to make the decision to do so. That's it. Does that make
yeah.
sense?
Yeah, it does. And I think, you know, the world is constantly changing. Mm-hmm. And we want people to be forever, mm-hmm. right? We want people to be immortal. We want people to not leave. We want people to not die. But that is actually a false reality. Yeah. And if people need to go, we have to allow them to be free.
Yeah.
Even if that hurts. And I always think, like, if I had to go somewhere, I'd go. No. You know? So you might as well let other people go, right? Like, I like my freedom. I do. But even with death, you know, that is a exchange of a different type of energy.
Yeah.
And so we have to allow for the world to fluctuate. We have to allow for the give and take, for the shifts to happen. And then always return to love. I just feel like for me, that's the easier option.
Yeah.
It's not easy. I'll fucking tell you that. It's not easy. It's so much easier to just live in hate and victimhood and disgust mm-hmm. than it is to move back to love. But moving back to love is a choice that I'm going to make because I feel good in that space. Right. I want to return to pleasure,
yeah.
which is my third thing that I do to return back into a good headspace is I masturbate. And then we'll leave you with that. So Miss Pollyanna, I want to thank you for being on my show today.
You're welcome. I love you.
tell the people how to find you.
Oh my goodness. Please jump on board with Buried Pleasures at buriedpleasures.com. And you can hear my podcast on all of the major podcasting platforms. You can also find me Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. I think that's like, there's probably more. Twitter, please. Twitter. Very pleasure on Twitter. If you ever want to interact with me, we do a lot of Twitter spaces. I have a lot of friends on there that if you ever see Buried Pleasures in a Twitter space, jump in. We have a great time and it's a great way for people to ask questions and interact and be present in the moment of conversation. And it's pretty awesome. And again, thanks, Sunshine.
Yes, and I am Sunshine Ryan, and you can find me at sunshineryan.com, and I am still on social media hiatus, making a comeback soon, and
I'm going to try to get you in the Twitter spaces. That's what we're trying to do. If you're listening to the show, email her and tell her, get on Twitter.
And that's it for today, so I want to thank you guys for listening, and I will see you all next week. Bye.